It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
It's gonna roll around once more.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
You know, that wheel has rolled around again. We welcome you to the Radio Ranch this Saturday morning, January 17th, 2015. And look, it's going to be a beautiful day out here. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And I think John's having some phone issues, but hopefully he'll be calling in here shortly and joining us. Oh, there you go. Got a little laser blast going on. You just never know what you're going to get down here at the Radio Ranch and with coffee with the Wranglers. And, you know, that just reminds me to mute my phone is all that does. So, anyway, we do thank you, the Remnant, for joining us. We'll have the phone lines open up in a little bit. And I think we've got a couple things we wanted to talk about. But we're going to open up in prayer first. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that you give us, Lord, this opportunity to gather together with like minds and like hearts, Lord, to serve you, to have fellowship, Lord, good godly fellowship with Christian men. Lord, it is very unlike that fellowship going on down at the donut shop, Lord, in that you are here with us. We gather in your name and we ask you to join us. We know your word says that you do just that. Join us, Lord, and add to the conversation, Lord, speak to us and give us the thoughts to think and the words to say, Lord, to encourage each other to love and good deeds, to stimulate one another, Lord, to help each other stay on the straight and narrow path. Lord, we do. We welcome you here. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for our pastor that came before us, Lord, the foundation that he built, that foundation being built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you to help us to build onto it, Lord, to continue building, to continue growing, to continue reaching more and more of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Lord, the remnant with the true gospel message. Lord, as we see, and we'll talk today about some current events, Lord, but as we see them, Lord, let us not lose sight of you. Let us not lose faith in you, Lord. Let us be as Peter, when he stepped out on the waves with his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and as long as he kept his eyes on Christ, he was good, and he walked on the water with Christ. It's only when he looked at the waves that the doubt came in, Lord. Lord, help us all, each and every one of us, here and as well as out in the remnant, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes on you. And that we know that if we will do that, that through you all things are possible. Be with us today, Lord. Guide and direct us today and as we prepare for church tomorrow. And Lord, let it all glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. And I think I heard John join us. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Yeah.
I'm on a cell phone, so I don't know how good it's going to be, but
yes.
We'll try it.
Sounds good. Sounds good. You're having some phone issues down there, huh?
Yeah, we had some hurricane winds last night, like I can't remember.
Yeah.
So that must have taken out the... I switched to voice over IP because my phone lines were deteriorated here several months ago, and phone service has been great. But the problem is, if the internet goes down, you lose your phone too, so...
Yeah, the wonders of modern technology. So, well, we're glad your cell phone's up and you were able to join us this morning. Before we get going too far, I want to remind the remnant that we're trying to encourage you to read your Bible this year. And we have a Bible reading plan for 2015. We have the whole plan printed, and it's going in the Volume 1 Dragon Slayer newsletter that will get printed next week and mailed to you. If you go to the website now, you can download the January plan. Just go to scriptures4america.org, and right there on the left-hand side, Jason's got it up where you just click on it, and it'll give you the PDF, the little January calendar, so you can read to help you read your Bible this year. And if you're doing that, today's schedule, you finish Genesis, Genesis 48, 49, and 50. As Jacob Israel passes away, you can read about the blessings that he gives his sons. You know, maybe you haven't read part of Genesis every day this month so far. That's okay. Open your Bibles today. Read Genesis 48, 49, and 50. And do your best over the next week, if you haven't read all of Genesis, to go back and do that very thing. It's really an interesting story.
Yeah. Sometimes you get a visual in your mind of what took place, and then when you reread it, you have to correct some of those things that you maybe had in your mind that either didn't happen or wasn't quite the way you thought it happened. You know,
because
the details are great.
You know, along those lines, I'm catching up. I confess my sin to you. I haven't been able to follow the plan daily. But I did a little catching up this morning and reading about Jacob and Rachel and Laban. And, you know, as being a father with a teenage daughter that has a Jacob type that's coming around, interested in my in my teenage daughter. Do what?
Your oldest is married already, though, so you can't give her up.
Right. But when you read through this, you know, let's see, it's right here. You know, it's Jacob that says that he will work for Laban for 7 years. You know, Laban had two daughters, it says, in Genesis 29. Genesis 29:18, it says, "Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, 'I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel.'" And Laban said, "Okay." And, you know, just like you said, that detail, and maybe it's just wishful thinking. I'd always thought that it was Laban that said, "Serve me for 7 years, and I'll give you the daughter." And so, now we understand Laban was a little treacherous there, and so he gives Leah, anyway, that's a whole nother story. But
good luck with that one, because even Pastor Peters didn't do that to me. So.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't have to serve 7 years
There's,
for his daughter. So.
Right, and there's always something to be thankful for, right? Well, see, that's the thing is, you know, I've always understood it. And any time I've talked to people, they've always understood it. Well, you know, if the dad says you got to work for him 7 years, but that's not what the Bible story says. Jacob said, "I'll work for you 7 years for your daughter." And then even for, you know, the next time, then you read a little bit further, verse 27, "Complete the week of this one," meaning Leah, "and we will give you the other also for the service which you shall serve with me for another 7 years." So for the second 7 years, he does say that. Anyway, but yeah, it's good to go back and keep the details straight and read of our history. You know, we hear so much today about culture. there's cultural centers all over the United States. Very few of them, this culture, you know. I know right down there in the north part of Fort Collins, there's the Aztlan. Is that how you pronounce that, Jason? Aztlan? It's the...
Aztlan Center.
Aztlan Center. A-T-Z-L-A-N or something like that. And it's for the Mexicans. You know, the Aztlan is the reconquering the southwestern United States for Mexico. And so they have this Latino cultural center down there. And how many Martin Luther King Jr. cultural centers are there all over the country? But very few cultural centers of our culture. Anyway.
Well, and it's neat when you read it and you have the understanding. It's different too when people read it, and you know, I mean, so many people. What I've been thinking about is they read this and they're being told that, oh, this is, you know, this is the people history that are settled in Palestine, and these were all Jews, and you know, it puts a completely different thing into it, you know. And aspect to it when you read it and you think, you know, these are my forefathers, you know. Yeah. You know, this is our father Abraham, this is Jacob, you know, who we're descendants of. And when you have that understanding and you can read it, it makes it a lot more personal too. I mean, it puts it in a personal aspect that you know, a lot of people, I really think they're missing out when they don't have that understanding. I mean, it's sad to be able to read that and, you know, have no relation to it. But when you think about it, is, you know, I'm reading about my kin. That makes a huge difference for me. You know, it makes it really personal too. You know, you're reading a story about your great 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 grandparents. You know.
Yeah, until you realize that, too, you read it just like it's a fairy tale, you know, because I can remember reading Genesis when I was younger, and I read it, you know, and it was a story. But like you said, when you're part of that story and you're part of that heritage, then you picture in your mind, like Kyle said, too, you can see the stage in your mind. And another thing I think is really important is if you can find a quiet place, you know, and pray probably before you start to read. But if you read it out loud, you know, faith comes through hearing. You get a lot more out of it, I think, than if you just read it softly to yourself. At least
I agree.
Yeah, if you can read it out loud.
You know, it's even listening to it being read, too.
Yeah, right.
I've got that. I put that app on my phone and on my computer where you can type in the verses you want it to play in the version, and it'll play it in audio form. And you know, I've been reading them, trying to read them in the morning. Sometimes it's, you know, I'm like Richard, a day or two late, and then, you know, you get back, you get ahead, but I'm following it pretty good. But then I've been playing them also throughout the day, and I'll tell you what, it's you know, it's like listening to a story, like a book on tape, when you have that understanding, and it just makes it a lot more exciting.
Yeah,
and that'll keep you from going off on rabbit trails if you're listening to it like that, because you know, because you always read something that makes you go somewhere else. You know,
I'm getting a new notebook, and I've been writing stuff down just on stuff that's it's one of those things. It's so easy to get caught up in those rabbit trails, and this can lead to that. And you know, you write and stuff down, mm-hmm. but I've been just writing that stuff down and stuff that, if time allows, later on, I'll go back and I'll look it up. Things that are interesting or things that jump out at you, or just questions that you have, and trying to hopefully I'll be able to keep that up and just write the verse, write the question, and, you know, just put a question mark next to it. That's what I've been doing. And it's, you know, down the road, things that that I'd like to look into more. You know, just reading Genesis, the beginning of Genesis, when you read about the creation story. I mean, you know, if you take every word in there, you know, there's a lot of things that really stand out that you could put you know, a year's worth of study just in Genesis, in the very first few chapters. And, you know, so I encourage people to do that, too. Get the book, get a notebook, get a new one that you're not going to use for anything else, and just write down those verses that you come across that are interesting to you, that
that you think something you might want to look back at and do a word search or do a word study on later on, or start doing some cross referencing of some scriptures, and it could turn into something for you. So do want people to do that.
Amen.
The thing I found that seems to be working well is I get to work a little earlier, fire up my computer and get a cup of coffee, and then go to whatever Bible app you have, and then I'll just start reading whatever I have to read for the day, you know, three chapters or whatever. And but you can highlight, click, and paste, you know. So something that you see that catches your eye, I highlight it, click it, paste it, and just save it. And then later on you can go back and look at that. So that seems to work pretty well as well.
Amen.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Amen. So, folks, that's what we're doing. We're trying to encourage you to draw nearer to God by reading His Word. You know, we talk about the dangers of, like, children watching TV or listening to the modern day music and that kind of stuff, and there are certainly dangers there.
Video games,
right? But there's blessings, like you heard the guy say, like you heard Jason say. You know, when you can hear the Word, when you can read the Word, and you know, I know Kyle and I, we've talked many times about how this Anglo-Israel message that Pastor Peters presented and taught to us, one of the reasons it clicked and made sense is because it answered the questions. It answered the questions that we had from other churches. It answered the questions that, you know, maybe we had asked other pastors, you know, earlier in our life. It answered the questions that, you know, maybe we had in our, just from reading parts of the Bible. It fit everything together because it's truth. And then once you have that little bit of understanding, then you go back and read this Word, and it means even more, and it answers even more questions. So do that.
The thing we can't predict, too, though, is once you're baptized properly for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ by immersion, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it changes the whole thing, too.
Yeah.
I mean, every time you read that Bible, you see more every single time.
Absolutely. It gives you, that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Word.
It gives you the eyes to see, and it gives you the understanding that, you know, then when you go back and see it, oh, well, that's what that means.
There's still a few things, though, even in Genesis, that I'm still need to look deeper into, that's for sure. There's a reason we were called a peculiar people.
I
still are today.
I think that goes for everyone.
Yeah.
I think if anybody had Genesis figured out completely, I don't know, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Well, there is a Bible answer man you can call.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing too is, if we could figure everything out about God and His Word, well then, you know, we would be God, and we're not. We're just the creation. And I think the Bible later on says, you know, we see things through the glass darkly. You know, it's the sun's almost coming up now. Sunrise is going to be here in about, oh, another 10 or 12 minutes. But we're in a good early morning twilight, and you can see pretty good, you know. But 20 minutes ago, you couldn't. It was as dark 20 minutes ago as it was at midnight. And so I think as in our spiritual walk and in our Christian life, as we draw closer to that new day, we see clearer and clearer, you know. But it's still midnight in with some aspects and some parts of this. You know, one thing that did come out, that, like you said, Jason, about, hey, we're reading about our great-grandparents here. You know, it talked about how Sarah was beautiful. And that was why, you know, there was a little worry about being her husband.
She's
going into
sister.
Egypt. Yeah. You know, well, they'll just kill me and take her. And but when it talks about Leah and Rachel, you know, Leah was a little more plain on the eyes, I think it says. Plain, weak of the eyes, it says. But Rachel was beautiful. And, you know, I think you look there as well. And it's another mark of Israel.
It is.
Because they are the most beautiful people, pleasing to the eyes, true beauty that there are. And those that are of Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, until they mix and mingle and you know, do their best to get their DNA or genetics improved, they certainly don't fit that bill. Well, anyway, read your Bible. You will not be disappointed. You won't. Well, there's one piece of current events I kind of wanted to bring up and just to kind of ask about, but I don't know if anybody else had something. I've kind of been talking a good bit this morning. I'll back off and drink coffee.
I just got
this Muslim thing's been getting a lot of publicity lately, and that's been kind of interesting. You know, over there in they had that the shooting. I guess that's one of the things that's got all the hype on it. And so what's interesting is all the secondary footage that has come out and showing that you know, maybe these guys weren't gunned down in front of that that publishing office. And I don't know, you know, you never know what to think when you start seeing that, but it has a lot of resemblances. It's just another mass attack, like a Sandy Hook or you know, the theater shooting that we had down here in Aurora. A lot of things are pointing that direction. Don't really know yet. Don't know really what the agenda behind it is, but you know, if something is, and I don't know if anybody's really been following that. If anybody's got any information on that at all.
I haven't heard anything about it. Richard got a phone call, so he'll be back here in a second. But I didn't know it was coming out with all that kind of stuff. There's always so many lies being told to the public of what goes on. I mean, you see a few pictures, and I mean they might not even be pictures from that scene. I mean it's everything. I think we got an email a few weeks ago about, you know, how do you believe certain parts of the news and not other parts? And there's some truth to that. How, you know, you get when you get lied to so much from the news and from the government and from all these people in higher places, you don't know what's true or what's not true. You just pray for discernment that you'll understand and move on. But, you know, a picture that they throw in front of your face, it's hard not to believe a picture. You know, I mean, for some reason, you see a picture, you want to believe it, you know. But, you know, I mean, it's like the movie Wag the Dog. I mean, it's they could throw whatever they want in front of you. That doesn't mean nothing. I mean, nobody knows.
Well, you must not be listening to Fox and Glenn Beck then, otherwise then you'd have the truth.
Yeah.
I haven't for a while.
I know, and I hear that. I hear the same thing all the time, and it's like, oh, wow, people, are you serious? And you know, what was interesting, though, I did see some interesting footage. The one video that they showed, or the one picture that they've been using all over the place, where the guy's laying down on the sidewalk, shot in the head, supposedly by the masked robber. I saw that, you know, they said that he was shot right in the head with an AK-47, 7.62 by 39 round, 147 grain bullet, supposedly. And the video of that shot where they took that picture from shows the masked man running up behind him, sticking the gun barrel directly up to his head within, I would say, looks like about 18 inches away, pulling the trigger, and the guy's still holding his head up. And then the guy runs off, and then he lays his head down, and he's dead. Now,
it wouldn't quite be that way, would it?
It wouldn't be that way. And you know, and it was the same picture. I mean, it was the same picture that they showed this is the video clip that they took that picture from. So, I mean, it's you know, you look up on YouTube, anybody that's got any doubts of what a watermelon looks like when it's shot with an AK-47. That's going to be a pretty close resemblance. If you get shot close blank range, at that close of range with an AK-47 in the head, it is going to implode, and there's no way somebody would hold their head still. I mean, it would hit the ground. It would have so much force hitting it. I mean, we're talking about thousands of inch pounds of pressure just coming off that barrel at that kind of range, and there would be nothing left. It would split that head into pieces. Blood would go everywhere. So, you know, that you know, that part of it now, I mean, and I've seen a lot of stuff a lot of times where in news stories they use a different picture, they use a different picture to describe it just because they like the way that one works. I mean, that's part of advertising. Maybe they didn't have any pictures of what took place there at that shooting, and they were using parts from this video clip of another robbery, which they oftentimes do. But something ain't right. I mean, you know, they were portraying this picture as directly from that shooting, and if it was, then the guy wasn't dead and he wasn't shot. Or he might have died later on, but that's not how he died. So it just makes you wonder. It really makes you wonder why they go through all the trouble of lying to everybody about it.
That's, you know, like, that's like the moon photos. I mean, okay, yeah, that one was doctored. That one was fake. That, you know what I mean? But, you know, it was just because we didn't have enough good ones. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, right.
Well, guys, let's go to the phone lines this morning.
Yeah.
Phone's ringing. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. I had an interesting experience, two, 3 weeks back. Kind of a learning day in a lot of ways, but one of the particular things. I was riding on this bus, Chicago. I had to go through kind of a dodgy area, you know. And usually, sitting in the back, you know, supposedly the blacks fought to be in the front of the bus. They seemed to love the back of the bus so much. And, you know, a lot of times it'd be someone that'd shout rap or something like that, you know. So I'm sitting in the front of the bus. And so I hear this guy, this young black man. He's kind of loud. And he's talking about, among other things, what sin is. And he was good. He had it nailed, you know. So I had something I was carrying, you know, and I picked it up and went back to the back of the bus. And this is a better conversation back here than anything going up in the front, you know. So I got to talking to this guy. And, of course, this is fairly common. There's a number of blacks who is there's a black Hebrew movement or something like that, they call it. They've got Edom figured out. They know who he is. But they think that Israel is black Americans. You know?
Right.
It's kind of a convoluted, you know, explanation. It's almost similar to, you know, it's based on blood.
No, it's interesting when you read what they have to say or you talk to them, because they think that they're the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And to get this figured out, and well, where do the Africans flow? It's as weird and convoluted as the spiritual Israel. But anyway, I'm listening to this guy. He's got this nailed down. I mean, this sin thing. I mean, he could have done a better job than the pastor of nailing someone on this, what is sin, you know. And so, anyway, he gets off, and I start to think, you know, why is he, at least on that sin issue, and there were several other things too, you know, I mean, he wasn't the, wasn't for the, Jesus is a loving man, you know, I mean, he, you know, he preached the real Jesus, that sort of thing. And God is love, and, you know, which he is, but, you know, he's also other things. He had this nailed down. You know. I got to thinking, you know, why was he so enlightened on that? And, you know, Jason, you were talking about, you know, when you read this and you know it's your kin or your ancestors or something like that, it makes a big difference. And so I think all of a sudden he had this incentive, believing that he was Hebrew. Now he's looking at this thing, and now it all, or at least great parts of it, open up for him. You know, and that
That's
sort of reinforces the importance of our belief, of our realizing who we are, because that's going to change. That's one of the things, besides in baptism, that's going to change our total perception of everything, the way we look at God's word.
Yeah, good point.
So he had an incentive.
Yeah.
You know, hey, that's us. I mean, that's what he was thinking anyway.
Yeah. I know somewhere a pastor picked up one of those, or somebody sent it to him, one of those black Hebrew Bibles.
We got one right up here.
Is
on
it
the
right
show.
Up here? And they, is that the one with pictures?
It says original African heritage.
There it is. Let me see that. Thank you. Let me see that thing. And it, I know the one in pastor's office, I looked one. Oh, yeah, this one too. They got pictures.
Oh, yeah, and they got pictures of all the men Here's, that we've heard about our whole lives.
And yeah, and they're all black. Here's Samson and Delilah, you know, and it looks like you're watching BET television. You know, they got pictures. And because, and somebody said earlier, pictures are, you know, when we see pictures, see, they understand that's the simpler part of the mind. When we, what's their saying? Seeing is believing. Well, you know, the liars that put these pictures in this Bible, and that's what they are. You know, here's Job and his friends. They're all black. Mary and Elizabeth, they're black. Here's the Madonna.
Oh, yeah.
She don't look like Madonna today. You know, and so, but again, it's these pictures that they have. You know, is it any more ludicrous than Revelation 2:9-3:9? You know?
Yeah, well, that's you know, and there's, you know, you could go on for an hour on this. They've got stories about how the white man emerged and everything, and I'm familiar with all that stuff. But I think the lesson I got from that was how important it is for us to know who we are, because now we've got some, as they say, skin in the game.
Yeah, good point.
You know, and this opens everything up.
Yep. Hey, Bill, thanks a lot.
Okay.
All right, have a great weekend.
Sure, you do.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's the one.
I won't be carrying that book.
You can put that one back up, Kyle. Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking to see where he got this, but...
It had some writings from Colonel Moore inside.
Yeah, I think it was.
I think, Oh, well. Well, phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. Saw a headline yesterday toward the end of the day about... didn't know if anybody else had a chance to look into it anymore, but about Russia cutting off a lot of their the LP gas supplies to the through the Ukraine, cutting off supplies to the EU. Didn't know if anybody else had a chance to, or if anybody had any more on that.
I've been following that a little bit. They did yesterday, which basically, I mean, was no big surprise with what the oil prices have done.
Right.
You know, which was you know, basically a direct result of them wanting to bankrupt Russia to begin with. I mean, they wanted them to keep supplying the oil at the prices that at the stock market prices, but they ran the prices down in order to bankrupt Russia. So, I mean, it was just a matter of time before they pulled the plug on it. I'm surprised that they waited this long to pull the plug on it.
Yeah, I read an article the other day that John Kerry was there meeting with the king in Saudi Arabia or whatever, and part of that meeting was discussing the crashing of the oil prices to try to make Russia destitute.
Seems like in our history, not too distant history, we read something along those lines. Back in like 1939, 1940, the United States doing something real similar with a little nation called Japan.
How we forced Japan into World War II. You know, I mean, the thing is there's a lot of things that were, you know, Roosevelt wanted to get Japan into World War II, and that's one of the things they did. They cut the oil off from them. They cut the supplies off from them. And, you know, Japan retaliated by bombing Pearl Harbor. But, you know, as Roosevelt wanted us in that war, he knew the people weren't going to back him, and that's what, you know, the outcome of that was Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it was a very similar situation of what we see unfolding right now.
I think so.
A lot of similarities.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, you wonder about a lot of this Islamic stuff that's going on, too, you know, like that deal in France. And is it to cause unrest between the American people and, you know, the multitude of Muslims that are here now, too?
Right.
Because all they really need, they can't seem to get a race riot
stirred up between blacks and whites and Hispanics and whites, but so maybe they can do it between Islam and Christians, or Islam and American citizens, because all they want is to, you know, to have that unrest to the point where they can just declare martial law.
Yeah, I got a question. Who benefits if the Christians and the Muslims fight? Who benefits from that?
The ones who created Islam.
Esau.
Esau benefits from that.
Yeah.
The war is the Jewish harvest. We have to remember that. And so who benefits when Christian men are killed by Muslims, or Muslims are killed by Christians? Now, you may say, well, the Christian benefits, you know, we get more of a Christian life. You know, we're not fighting Muslims for a Christian lifestyle, but we're certainly fighting Muslims, you know,
yeah.
And you kind of have to wonder why. And so, you know, we've learned from our pastor that there is an unseen third party that loves to say, hey, let's you and him fight. You two fight. And that's, I think that's exactly what we have going on here today. The Muslims are the target. Oh, the Muslim. Muslims, that we got a Muslim president. He's got 27 Muslims on his staff. He won't say, you know, Tony Blair from the Prime Minister of UK will say terrorist act, but our president won't. Oh, we got Muslim this, Muslim that. You know, has there been a president in the last 100 years that did what he wanted to do? Or is he not a puppet? You know, like, you know, Jason, you mentioned Roosevelt. You know, you look back and read and see who Roosevelt's advisors were. Who was it that was, you know, in his cabinet and his advisors? And you see these Rosenbergs and names like that, and it's just the way it is today. And, you know, granted, Muslims are our enemy. Islam is an enemy of Christianity. There is no doubt about that. And they're the ones making the biggest noise right now.
I think that's their role. It's like the 12 sons of Israel, each tribe, each son, they had their own role. You know, I mean, obviously we know about the Levites and the Benjamites, but anyway, they all have their own role, and it's like I've just turned over to Psalms 83, where it gives the list of those that conspire, and it's David is praying to God that, well, the first line is, do not remain quiet, because those that hate you, God, are coming against you. And then he gives the list, you know, and the first one on the list is Edom, mm-hmm. you know, and the second one on the list is the Ishmaelites, you know, and then it goes on down, you know, Moab and Hagrites, and I think that, and even to the children of Lot, I think they all have their personal traits and their roles in this fight against God and his children, because they're, all these that are listed here, their father is the devil, whether they know it or not, you know, most of them do know it, but I think there's some that don't know it, but there's, it's, when you meet these people, there is an immediate, usually, spiritual hatred towards one another, because you know that they are from a different, well, their frequency is yeah. different. They're from a different father. They're getting their instructions, whether it's DNA, I mean, however you want to put it, DNA or you know, praying to their father, their, or however, but they all have a role, and Ishmael, through their, you know, Allah or whoever their God is, they have that big, the role that we can see with our eyes that's
right.
taking place right now.
Right.
But all these other ones are at work too. You know, we don't recognize them as, well, you must be a child of Lot. You know, I mean, from Lot's daughters of
right.
incest. I mean, we don't recognize that, but I mean, we probably could if we investigated it more. But
yep.
but we can recognize Ishmael. I mean, because they're everywhere. Yeah. And they're
the thing we have to realize, though, is basically, you know, this morning internet's down and all that, so I found myself reading Deuteronomy 28, and basically what's happening is God's using them to fulfill his promises.
Absolutely.
Of the second part of Deuteronomy 28, the curses.
Right.
Has
Absolutely.
To happen. Yep.
Absolutely. You know, his promises are there. His promises of 1,000 will fall at your left hand and 10,000 at your right, and it won't come nigh unto thee. And the plague will not come near your tent. That promise is there. But those promises on the, in the last part of Deuteronomy 28 are there as well. If you won't, because those promises from Psalms are if we obey his word, if we walk with him, if we abide in him, if we are baptized into Jesus Christ, if we have on, if we are clothed with Christ, if we are walking with him and abiding with him, those promises of health and healing and protection and deliverance and provision are certainly there. But when we don't, and that's where our nation, the nation in general is today, then
you can't be a chosen. You can't be a chosen people if there's not an unchosen people.
Yeah.
I mean, and it goes, you know, you can't have blessings without there being curses. I mean, there's always a love and hate. There's always an opposite, and it has to be. And God chose his people not because they were the most of, but because they were the least.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to remember that. That's why there's evil everywhere. You know, I mean, and you know, like you said, John. I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, not that we should be thankful that the enemies are here, but there's a reason for it. You know, I mean,
right.
And pray against it, like David did there.
Yeah, that's how you come against it. Right, is returning to him. Returning to him.
I had an interesting experience last night. I was at a basketball game for my son, and watching the girls' varsity before the boys' varsity, and one of the young ladies out there that's usually one of the best players, she was just staggering, and, I mean, she just didn't have any energy. So I went up to her dad, who's a local pastor, and I said, hey, what's going on? And said, well, she's having trouble getting oxygen. They say she has asthma, and I go, well, she didn't have asthma last year, and she was a star player, and she was better this beginning of this year. You know, what changed? And anyways, I said, well, did you anoint her and pray over her? And he just looks at me with this blank look in his face, and I'm like, well, the Bible says, you know, in James 5:14, and I quoted that, and then I said, you need to read Leviticus 14, 15 through 18 and anoint her and pray over her, you know. And we got to talking about, now this is a pastor, mind you, that's been a pastor for probably 30-some years. And I said, you know, Jesus died on that cross not only for our sins but for our diseases and our infirmities so that we don't have to bear them. The reason we don't have the miracles is we don't have the faith, you know. Bible says if you have faith of a mustard seed, greater things than this you will do. Six times before he went to the cross. And he says, looking at me like I'm speaking another language or something, but
you are.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, so then I went back and I sat down, and it wasn't maybe 5 minutes later, he gathered a couple of the other local pastors, and he said, would you pray with me over my daughter? And I said, yeah, absolutely. And I said, you want to anoint her? I got the oil. And he said, yes, please, you know. And he literally had, like, teary eyes, you know. He could start to see. It was like the door was open. And I said, well, let's go in this vestibule over here. There just so happened to be a chair there, you know. So talked to her, and I said, hey, you believe Jesus Christ can heal you, right? She says, yeah, I believe that. And I says, well, then that's all you need, because we're going to pray believing that God's going to heal you. But I could tell there was something other than just physical. It was spiritual. And so I did. Poured oil in the palm of my left hand and dipped my right finger in it, sprinkled it before the Lord seven times, put it on her right ear and her right thumb and her right toe, put the rest on her head. And those guys are good at praising Jesus. So I said, all right, well, you guys start praising Jesus, and then I'll pray. So they did, and then I prayed. And boy, you'd have thought they thought I was from another planet or something, binding and loosening and coming against the forces of hell.
Speaking biblical terms.
Weakness.
Right? Speaking biblical terms that we read in the Bible.
Wow.
But anyways, long story short, that both at the end of that, and including the pastor's wife, they're like, wow, where did you learn to pray like that? I believe we had the victory last night, but I believe it was demonic, because I'm talking to some other people, like apparently this young lady was like cutting herself, you know, and that's demonic. I don't care what anybody says.
Absolutely it is.
So I think the victory was more on the spiritual realm than it was anything else. But it's just, it's awesome when God gives you that opportunity, you know, and you got to take it boldly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
Well, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's Anthony from New Jersey. How you doing?
Good. Good morning.
Good morning. That's a cool story. But I was calling about our enemies, and I've heard recently there's been a lot. They really upped their game with praying for Israel. Even on the shortwave, I've been hearing it like crazy. Pray for Israel. Pray for. I was flipping through the shortwave, and the lady says it was a woman pastor. Okay, whatever. But she's like, if you don't support Israel, if you're not praying for Israel, you're going to endure the wrath of God. Okay? And it's like every other station I flip through, it's pray for Israel. So they want everyone to be off their game, you know, and pray for the state of Israel, or pray for the Jews. Amazing. How I mean, to me that's a twofold issue. First of all, it takes your focus off Christ. I think that's the main goal of that in these Judeo-Christian churches. Take your focus off Christ, and now Israel or the Jews become your idol or your God, in a way. You're praying for them. If you bless them, you know, you're going to be blessed. Well, that's not the truth. Look at our country since that whole thing started, that whole debacle opened up. And secondly, it nullifies or undermines the deity of Christ, who he is, who his what his sacrifice is, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. If you go, well, if I just pray for the Jews or Israel, I'll be blessed, you know? Because we all really want to be like them, don't we? And we're just, those are God's really true chosen people. They can live like hell and get by in life and be saved. So we're just really, need to be like the Jews and worship them and their and the state of Israel. It really is a deranged, you know, concept that and that's the wolf in sheep's clothing. That's the under, you know, like crept in unaware to you know, push out false doctrine.
Well, and I think a lot of what is taking place right there is found in Second Chronicles 19:2. And it says, Jehu, the son of Hananiah the seer, went out to meet them and said to the king Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord, and you bring the wrath on yourself from the Lord? And I think right there it's a ploy. You know, when you bless those that hate the Lord, you bring the wrath of God upon yourself. And that's something that people have got to be careful in a lot of different aspects, because oftentimes, you know, back here in this chapter, it was a trap. And I believe that now it's one of those traps to bring the wrath of God upon a group of people, a race of people, a nation, is when you bless those, when you love those, when you care for those that hate the Lord.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't think that those people that are broadcasting out there, like you said, that woman prophet or prophetess or preacher or whatever she is, and the others, when they're telling you to bless the ungodly Antichrist Israel, they are either deceived or they are deceivers. But they are deceiving. And that's a sin. That's against the law of God to do that. We're commanded not to deceive and not to be deceived.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Or they're whoring themselves for money. Because
that's right. I think that's a lot of it has to do with the money. And who's going to fund them? Guess who's going to fund them? You know, the wolves in sheep's clothing. Well, they are, you know, that. But where are they getting this doctrine from? Who's actually putting this in their brain, and who's pushing them?
They get it from their seminaries. For a lot of it, you know, they're taught there. The enemy has taken over. You know, John, I couldn't help but think when you know this pastor that you witnessed to at the ball game. You know, if he goes back and starts reading the Old Testament, you know. If he doesn't start calling some rabbis in to teach him, maybe not.
Yeah, really.
Hopefully not. Well, hey, thanks for the call. We got a couple callers. We're going to try to get these other callers. Thank you.
You bet. Take care.
Thanks, right. Anthony.
And a couple more callers here. Try this one. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, this is Dave from Oklahoma. And you guys were talking earlier about the Japanese, and that one caller mentioned about blacks. Where do they fit in, the Orientals and the blacks and the whole scheme of thing? And do you have any books that explain about all the different races?
We have a couple of books by Charles Wiseman, I think, that do a good job of pointing out the differences and explaining the races. One is, I can't remember names of them, but anyway, two books by Charles Wiseman that at least in the physical, show the differences, show where the different races, for the most part, originated. Like the Orientals, they've been in China and Japan in that area. And my understanding is, they have a written history going back over 12,000 years.
Before
Adam. And so, I think you could say that they are part of the first creation. When male and female, he created them. And he put them in their place, and he looked on them and said, they're good. He put the Asian man in Asia, and he put the black man in Africa. And he did all that, and if you go back and read about that, those first 6 and 7 days of creation, that's where they came from, and then he looked around and he said, I need a man to tend the garden, I need a man to look after all this that I've created. And instead of speaking Adam into existence, he knelt down in the dust of the earth and he created Adam. And it says he breathed in the breath of life to him. And that's a different creation than the other people of the earth.
You should send her an email with the name of those books.
Yeah. Dee, give me a call Monday. We'll be in the office. Give me a call Monday, and I'll let you know what those books are. But they do a good job of, and see, this used to be common history. 100 years ago, this was taught in universities. But since we once again are in captivity, once again we have had, we haven't been taken captive to Babylon, we've been taken captivity in Babylon, right here in the United States. And so our enemies have changed history. They've taken, you've heard the pastor talk about the book thief. Guess what books they thief? It are these true history books that used to explain this stuff out. Where do they fit in? The Bible says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I for one believe that there certainly are different types of peoples. And if a people will follow the laws, statutes, and judgments that the Bible puts out, if the people will do their best to follow Christ and his teachings, I think they'll be blessed. There was a mixed multitude that came out of Egypt. There were aliens and strangers in the days of Moses. But they were supposed to follow the same law as his people.
Got a text message from George in Illinois. Says, not of one blood. So that's one of the books of Charles you're talking about.
That's a very good rebuttal to a Judeo-Christian teaching that's come out that uses one scripture that says, from one blood, God created all men.
Well, they use that verse out of Acts, and they take it out of context.
It's ridiculous. And that's actually a third book by Wiseman that is real good in explaining the differences of... I don't know if you've noticed, but, I don't know if you... forgive me. I don't know. Do you have children?
No.
Okay. My wife and I have been married for 28 and a half years. We have 9 children. And
none of them are black.
None of them are black. None of them are Asian. None of them are Hispanic. They all pretty much look like us. And we're kind of what you call Caucasian. And they look like us. And so like begets like. It's a, but God created them all and looked on them and said, hey, it's good.
You can always be like the Hollywood people and adopt some of different races.
Yeah, yeah. That's a whole nother story. Yeah, origin
over and over in Genesis.
Yeah, yeah.
It was always kind of.
I look at how much our country now is run by the blacks in high places in our government, and even in the mid-level places, mayors and
oh, absolutely,
and police departments and.
And the reason why, Dee, I think John or somebody mentioned it earlier, Deuteronomy 28 is why. Verses 1 through 15 talk about the blessings that God will pour out upon us if we obey his word. And verses 16 to about 70-something, the end of the chapter, are the curses. And that is where we are living today, is in the curses of Deuteronomy 28 as a nation. As a nation. Well, hey, we're about out of time. Dee, thanks for the call. Give me a call Monday in the office.
I will. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. And yeah, Doug sent it.
Still got to remember
text
though,
in too. Go ahead, John.
Israel, that all the other nations would be blessed through Israel, through Christian, you know, through
right.
through us, through this nation.
Right. And they have.
So he had.
They have been
mercy on the other nations. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's only this nation that actually. Has it written on their hearts to help people when they're in need. And
right.
we're the greatest nation in the country as far as helping other people as they or other nations as they go through, you know, disasters. And
yes.
You need to stay within your calling, you know. And, you know, Pastor Peters has multiple CDs and books where, you know, because the people always ask, what about the other peoples?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so...
And that's another mark
part of the
it's another mark of true Israel.
That's
too.
Part of the story.
It is
not a major part as far as their heritage because the Bible wasn't written to them.
Right.
But as they come into contact with true Israel, then they become part of the story. You know, the Gentile nations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean,
the blessings.
Yeah.
Can flow to them. Well, guys, we're out of time.
There's probably a few things we don't understand about that.
Just one or two, that's right. But, you know, the sun's up. I can sure see a lot clearer now than I can outside a half hour ago. And that's how we're to be. We get closer to that day. We can see a little clearer. We're out of time. Join us at church tomorrow. Scriptures4America.org. Click on the live video stream at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And if you do that, I don't think you'll be disappointed. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, they hide.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Moving, though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting.
be waiting at the end of our ride.